You heard Grant mention the Free Syrian Army. Since the uprising began last year, we've heard a lot of stories about soldiers who've defected from the Syrian army to join that Free Syrian Army, which is starting to look more like a genuine insurgency. But not all soldiers who leave the army decide to defect. Many simply go into hiding, and they say the military they fled is carrying out unspeakable atrocities. NPR's Kelly McEvers found some former soldiers.
Once a guy turns 18 in Syria, he's required to serve in the military. A man we recently met started his service about a year ago, right about the same time the Syrian uprising began. He calls himself Maxim. He's Kurdish. He has green eyes, a short beard, and gel in his hair. In those early days of the uprising, last spring, when thousands of Syrians began protesting in the streets, Maxim's commanders told him the protests were actually a conspiracy by a Saudi prince to turn Syria into an Islamic state. For a while, the soldiers believed it. Maxim says he was part of a special forces unit known as the shock team.
We usually break into the area at 4 in the morning when the people are asleep. We would search the area house by house, store by store, and we had a list of the wanted people with us.
Those lists came from the dreaded security forces, who are not part of the army, but rather belong to one of more than a dozen of Syria's intelligence agencies. Maxim and his comrades turned the suspects over to security forces. He says many were tortured, some were killed. Maxim says he and his comrades started to doubt the regime's story. They found it hard to believe that all these people, including old men, women, and children, were actually armed militants trying to establish an Islamic state. Instead, he says, when the people did start fighting back, it was to protect themselves. One day, one of Maxim's friends, a fellow soldier, was shot by one of these rebels in the Syrian town of Rastan. His colonel ordered Maxim and his comrades to search a house where four suspects lived. They found a sniper rifle and two Kalashnikovs, but the colonel didn't stop there.
He forced them to walk on the street, and wherever they went, they arrested more people. If your name on the list, come. If your name on the list, come. Until the total number became 30.
Maxim says the 30 men were lined up and blindfolded, and their hands were bound behind their backs. They were told to kneel, and the colonel and two of his bodyguards shot them all dead. The colonel explained his actions to the nearly 100 soldiers who watched.
We have to take a revenge for our comrades. These are all bad people anyway, and they don't suit this town anymore.
When the commanding general of the unit heard about the killings, Maxim says he ordered the men to just leave the bodies where they lay. Later, some of Maxim's comrades decided to get back at the general. They tipped off some people in Rostan one day, told them to block the general's car with a large truck.
They cut off the road at the end of the bridge.
Three soldiers climbed on top of the truck, fired at the general, and killed him. Both of these stories, about the killing of the 30 men and the killing of the commanding general, have been verified by residents of Rostan. When soldiers like Maxim decide to leave the army, they pay money to a network of smugglers who basically get them out of Syria. They cross rivers in the middle of the night. They climb over hills. They eventually end up here in this valley in Iraqi Kurdistan in what's becoming a kind of refugee camp. Right now there's probably three dozen young and middle-aged men playing a pretty rowdy game of volleyball. And just beyond that is where the soldiers end up sleeping in two unfinished cinder block buildings. We walk up to the building to see how many men are inside. There's no windows, only tarps, sleeping side by side on mattresses on the floor. But they say, you know, the situation they were in back in Syria, if you were either in the army or about to be in the army, you either were forced to kill or to be killed. And so this is a better alternative than that. Oh, wow. This is another huge hall, unfinished hall. And this is definitely 100 guys all in here. All young men sitting around, smoking, laying on their mattresses, crowded around heaters, drinking tea, it's pretty staggering just to see so many people, so many faces all in one place.
Guys crowd around us to talk about why they left the army. They forced us to detain people, to shoot people, they say. These are our brothers. We couldn't stay in this army and do this to our brothers. Outside the hall, one guy pulls us aside and says he wants to talk in private. He says he was working a checkpoint when security forces stopped a car, pulled a man out to be interrogated, got into the car, and harassed the man's wife and sister.
We heard shouting and crying from the car, especially the little one, the sister.
The next day, the officers who'd entered the car bragged that they raped the women. UN officials say these atrocities could amount to war crimes. Right now, though, they aren't pushing for a referral to the International Criminal Court. Instead, they hope they can convince the Syrian regime to abide by a ceasefire that's supposed to start this week. When Maxim finally decided to leave the Syrian army, he and 10 other soldiers faked a firefight with rebels to make their escape. They fired their own guns in the air. Maxim's officer radioed in to see what was happening.
I told him we are facing resistance here, and we ask us, where are you? I cut off the call. So they think we were kidnapped.
We asked Maxim why he didn't join the rebels once he'd escaped. I'm not sure about them, he says. At first, they were just defending themselves. But now it seems like the regime's myth is coming true. These rebels are starting to be more violent and more Islamic. I don't trust them. Still, Maxim says the regime is worse than the rebels. We ask him if the killing of 30 men in retaliation for the killing of one soldier is an apt ratio. In other words, are the regime's crimes 30 times worse than the crimes of the rebels? No, he says. They are 100 times worse. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.